Lesson number 4, Dependent Man. In our lesson last week, we tried to understand what it meant for God to come in human flesh. Now we are turning that over and saying to ourselves, how could this flesh, this man, Christ Jesus, demonstrate his dependence on God the Father? God was in man, man was in God. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus Christ is revealed as God and as man. For example, in Genesis, we see him as the seed. In Exodus, he is the Savior. In Leviticus, he is the Sanctifier. In Numbers, he is the Sovereign. In Deuteronomy, he is the Speaker. He reveals himself in every way. He liked to reveal himself in his figure of speech of the vine. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He could have used many other figures of speech. But he likes to show that he is coming to mankind on man's level to reveal the divine will to man. Part number one calls attention to the fact that in Christ were two natures. Hebrews 1:1-3, the Son is God the Creator, God the Predictor, God the Revealer. In the middle chapters of Isaiah, say from 43-48, the challenge that God issues to the heathen nations, come, you establish your credentials and I'll establish mine, often call attention to the fact that God is the Creator, God is the Predictor and the Revealer. And so Paul in Hebrews 1:1-3 shows that Jesus Christ is the predictor, he is the revealer, he is the creator. In Hebrews 2:14, however, just as children, our children, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, himself, likewise, partook of the same. Notice the emphasis he is giving there, that Jesus Christ did indeed take upon himself humanity as our children. Take upon themselves the humanity that we give them. In the scriptures, he is called the Son of Man, and he is also called the Son of God. These two expressions are important, just as Christ, becoming man, was the Son of Man, born of humanity. So as the Son of God, he is born or begotten of God. He, in fact, is the only begotten of the Father. These two expressions, Son of Man and Son of God, indicate the combination of the human and the divine in Christ, inseparably close and inexplicably complicated. He had within himself divinity. Divinity is immortal. Eternal. It cannot die. He had within himself humanity. Humanity is mortal. Humanity is capable of dying. And so Ellen White very perceptively condenses this thought when Christ was crucified. It was his human nature that died. Deity did not sink and die. God is immortal. Only humanity can die. Now let's not try to explain that, because that passes out of all ability to explain. We accept that by faith. Now at this point somebody will say, well, this is a cop-out. No, I don't think it's a cop-out. There are many things we do not understand, but we accept them. We do not understand how the brain functions, but we are very happy that we have a soundness of mind. There is an innate humility necessary in the exercise of divine wisdom, to acknowledge that there are things that we cannot understand yet that maybe we will understand sometime in the future. And one other reason why it isn't a cop-out is because if I get acquainted with somebody for many years and every statement they make to me proves reliable, year after year after year, they never let me down. Then if they make a statement that I do not understand, I do not say this is not true. I say I accept it on the basis of all the confidence that my personal experience with this being has engendered in my heart. Jesus Christ showed that the divinity and the humanity were combined by declaring that he had power to lay down his life and that he had power to take it up again. And when his Father called him, gave him his life on Sunday morning of the resurrection, Jesus Christ exercised his power and took that life once again. Part number two. Self-emptying. Jesus Christ was God. Paul lays that down without any debate. All the privileges, all the prerogatives and authorities, all the panoply and regal splendor of divinity were Jesus Christ. There was nothing that he wanted to take, that he wanted to grasp, that he wanted to rob, that he wanted to clutch to himself of deity. He had it all. God could have given him nothing of deity that Jesus Christ did not have. That's the first point Paul makes. Then he emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. And the picture is of pouring from one vessel into another, the content. So Jesus Christ poured out the content of divinity and came in the fashion of a man, in the fashion of a slave, and died on the cross. And then God exalted him and gave him a name and filled him fully of what he had emptied himself. Now, of what did he empty himself in this gift of himself? He emptied the independent exercise of his will. No longer was he acting independently. He said throughout his ministry, what the Father says, I do. Where the Father bids him to go, he went. Not my will, but thy will. This is the force of the self-emptying, the independent exercise of the prerogative of deity. Now, when he assumed humanity, he limited himself to space. He occupied space. God does not. And so he emptied his omnipresence and became present in a human body, found in fashion as a man. This self-emptying, apparently, Jesus Christ never assumes again. He has taken man's body up with him. So he divested himself of the independent exercise of his deityship and relied totally upon the Father. Part number three, his need of the Father and the Holy Spirit. In the plan of salvation, the members of the Trinity accepted separate roles. Father had his function, the Son had his function, the Spirit had his function. When the Son, as a helpless babe, defenseless, at the beck and call of the powers of demons and men, came to this planet, the Father and the Spirit exercised guardianship through the holy angels. For the Son could do nothing of himself. Of my own self I can do nothing. Of my own self I speak nothing. It's interesting to note that the Old Testament is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Whenever we see God acting in the Old Testament, it is Jesus Christ. Christ created. Christ was in the Garden of Eden. Christ talked with the fallen Adam and Eve and the serpent. Christ talked with Abel, with Noah, with Abraham, with Gideon, Jephthah, with Manoah. Whenever deity was manifest in the Old Testament, Christ is functioning. The New Testament is a revelation of God the Father. The actor through whom that revelation was made is Jesus Christ. But we do not see Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He has emptied himself. All we see is the Father. If I may use an illustration, if you go to a movie, I think of one I went to depicting the life of Abraham Lincoln, I couldn't tell you anything about the actor. I don't know what sort of family he had. I don't know what hobbies he had. I don't know anything about his life. All I know is that he depicted Abraham Lincoln. The same is, in a humble way on my part, seen in Jesus Christ. I don't see Christ. I see the Father. And I hear Christ say, "Have I been such a long time with you and you haven't seen the Father?" We must not for a moment deflect our minds from the fact that when Jesus Christ emptied himself of deity, he came to reveal the Father. And he was supported by the Spirit. As you see there in the note, the second question, born of the Spirit, baptized, led, offered himself, resurrected, all through the Holy Spirit. Now he works on our behalf. He convicts of sin through the Holy Spirit. It's expedient for us that he go away so that the Holy Spirit might come to help us in our problems. So the Father and the Spirit cooperated with Jesus Christ, and Christ was totally dependent on them for the way he lived and the way he communicated. Part number 4, the miracles of Christ. There were 3 ways Jesus Christ communicated: through his parables, his teachings, through his miracles, his actions, and through his life, his daily living. And the Holy Spirit helped him in each of the ways. The Father helped him in each of the ways, and the angels helped him in all the ways. By his life, Jesus Christ taught what the ideal man should do and be, and what God was. Now in this part 4, we see his miracles. These are his activities carried out by the Spirit through the power of the angels in agreement with the will of God to underscore and to add dimensions to the revelation of truth that he has given. For example, he says, "I am the true vine." And then he makes wine. "I am the way." Then he finds a man who has not walked for 38 years and sets him on the way. "I am the light." Then he takes a blind man and shows him the light. He says, "I am the word." And he takes a deaf man and opens his ears. "I am the bread." He finds a hungry multitude and gives them food to eat. So his miracles or his signs demonstrate that he has power to make man adequate, to make his promises adequate to man, so that together the divine will might be carried out. It was the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that enabled him to do all the things that he did. And so these miracles were carried out by the power of God through the Spirit and the agency of holy angels. Part number 5. He was dependent on the Father and the Spirit to obey the very law that he had made, to love and make the relationships that he himself had originally created. And so he became man in order that the world might know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, I do. I love the Father, that is, I establish the relationship. And as the Father shows me those relationships by telling me what to do in law, I carry those out. And if the Father told him that he must suffer, then he suffers. If the Father tells him he must die, that he must drink the cup, he says, "Thy will be done." So completely did Jesus Christ empty himself that he was ready to be filled with the fullness of the Father through the Spirit at all times. The focus of the week concentrates on Jesus Christ's exemplification of the ideal dependent man. If it took suffering to learn obedience, then Jesus Christ bore that suffering. If it took trial and temptation to establish his character, Jesus Christ submitted. Self was laid aside, and into the vacuum was poured out the Spirit of God. So when Jesus talked about seven spirits being cast out of a man, and he goes about empty, and then when he is not filled with the true spirit, the evil spirits come back into him, Jesus Christ is demonstrating that when he emptied himself, he was totally filled and maintained by the abiding presence of the Spirit of God.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.